Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, it's hour two. Live in Los Angeles is called The Herd. That's our show, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, FS1. Jay Glazer this hour. No, I was just talking to Joy about this. It's not a prediction or a theory or anything, but let me just phrase it this way. What if 68, 69-year-old Bill Belichick retired in 2 weeks? The Patriots don't have a coach, a quarterback, a single playmaker offensively, a general manager, an offensive coordinator, Brian Flores, Joe Judge, and many of their brain powers left. He would literally leave Robert Kraft with a logo. I mean, that's about what he'd leave him with. They don't even have a backup quarterback. Jarrett Stidham's not a viable backup in this league.
But what does that do for Belichick winning the divorce?
Belichick retires and...
Like, how does he win the divorce then? Because I agree that he could possibly do that.
No, he's lost the divorce.
So he feels like he's never gonna win the divorce with Tom Brady.
And he's still bitter about the Garoppolo, where Robert Kraft, all these championships, Bill Belichick, and he's well compensated, took Robert Kraft and made him a multi-billionaire. This franchise, and Robert Kraft's very successful. He probably gave him $4 billion of brand value between Brady and Belichick winning. So Belichick's not going to win the divorce. Like, he's not going to win it, right? They're not going to, unless he stays there for years and years and years. But Belichick in that Saban documentary said the one thing he hates, Saban and Belichick, during the documentary they did, agreed the one thing they hated was when coaches left and poached their staff. It drove him nuts. If Josh McDaniels leaves, Brian Flores leaves, Joe Judge leaves, they all poach. Belichick may be just getting to a point where, like, I'm done. I don't feel, it's exhausting. And so I'm just throwing it. I'm not saying it's going to happen.
Right, but, no, not a theory.
But it is interesting. What would Bob Kraft be left with today? They don't have a playmaker. They don't have a quarterback. They don't have a top assistant. They've all left. He wouldn't have Belichick. He'd have Belichick's kids, who would leave with Bill and go golf in Jupiter. I'm just saying.
It's like a hypothesis. A hypothesis comes before a theory, right?
Yeah.
Theories when it's tested.
I like that.
Yeah. So it's a hypothesis.
That's a new segment on the show. Colin's hypothesis.
It doesn't really roll off the tongue as well. I'm taking that master class, so I'm learning how to talk science. Neil deGrasse Tyson.
I think we're both in a mood today.
Oh, I'm definitely in a mood.
I'm in a mood today.
I got a good night's sleep.
Same here.
Yeah.
So Ann leaves. When Ann leaves, I'm good for about a day and a half.
And then you just start leaving cupboard doors open.
And then the dogs and I, we party like there's no tomorrow. Dogs and I do for about a day and a half. And then the next day, I woke up this morning, I was sad, and the dogs looked at me and they're like, where's mom? Where's the grown-up?
Well, because you had nachos for breakfast for 2 days in a row.
It's so fun.
No life.
I die at 50, but it's fun. So, listen, the Texans they got issues. Deshaun Watson, reportedly, top five quarterback or whatever's in the league, he wants out. And so, if I'm the Jets, I said, I would just go for it. You got five first-round picks next 3 years because of the Jamal Adams trade. I'd give four up. I'd probably try to keep one. I'd give you four, and I'd do it. And it really does work. But, you know, it's funny that, and it's taken a long time. The NBA has finally figured it out. First round picks don't mean anything. Anthony Davis, Laker deal, don't mean anything. New Orleans isn't winning. The Lakers are winning titles. They don't mean anything. Now, in the NFL, they mean more than the NBA because in the NBA, your first round pick is a 19-year-old who's played briefly at Dayton. And so he's going to take 5 or 6 years, even if he's a terrific young player, to kind of become a man in the NBA, get used to the travel, the physicality of the NBA. Football players come out after 3 or 4 years of college, and they can make an immediate impact. But the reality is there's no first-round player in this year's draft outside of Trevor Lawrence that's going to be as productive as Deshaun Watson for the first couple of years. He's probably the only one, and he's a generational talent. But think about this. Think about what giving up first-round picks. It sounds scary, but it's not. Chicago gave up two first-rounders for Khalil Mack. They've made the playoffs twice. Raiders, who got the picks, have yet to make the playoffs. The L.A. Rams gave up two first-rounders for Jalen Ramsey. They made the playoffs and won a playoff game. They made the playoffs and won a playoff game. Jags, the worst team in the league. And even Seattle, they made the playoffs again. They got Jamal Adams, who absolutely helped them make the playoffs. Lakers, Anthony Davis. Folks, the best, if you were the Jets, you have the number two pick in the draft. The best you could hope for is that Justin Fields becomes Deshaun Watson. You take that bet this morning. So just go get Deshaun Watson. That, if you said, yeah, Justin Fields, how good is he going to be? Deshaun Watson good? Didn't I hear this morning? Deshaun Watson now, what is his completion percentage? I think it's currently like, it's an absurd number. Like highest, that's his career playoff percentage. His career completion percentage is 68%. That's with the athleticism. It's the highest all time. That's with the athleticism. You get him running around. Oh, yeah, he completes 68% of his throws. That's what Breeze does without the athleticism and deep ball. So, to me, if he wants out, engineer the trade. Go get three or four first-round picks if you're Houston. Jets get a star. And, by the way, Houston can say, give us Darnold and the number two pick. We'll draft Justin Fields. We'll put him in camp. We'll see who wins the job. We'll trade the next guy. By the way, Joy said this earlier. So, do we have the Bruce Arians sound? We have a Bruce Arians quote. He was talking about this win this past weekend. Here's the quote, Bruce Arians. He says, Tom's the consummate leader, been all year. Air of confidence permeates through the team. I allow him to be himself. I allow him to be himself. Like New England didn't allow him to coach. I allow him to coach. I just sit back sometimes and watch. I'm going to defend Belichick on this one. There's a reason Tom can, like, coach and stuff. He learned how to do that in New England from the world's best coach. Listen, Tampa was a really easy thing to describe. The first year, Bruce Arian culture went 7-9 in Tampa. This year, Bruce Arian's culture was about 500 through October. And then New England became Tom Brady's culture, and they got really hot and won like 7 of their last 8 games. The Bruce Arians culture last year was 7-9, bad special teams, and mistake-filled. I mean, like most picks ever. And the beginning of this year, Tampa Bay was Bruce Arians culture and Tom fitting into it. And then Tom, about week 9 and 10, said, I'm tired of this blank. It's going to be my culture. And yeah, then they got really good. That is not a shot at Bruce Arians. But the story in Tampa is Tom changing the culture to the Tom culture from the Bruce culture. Trent Dilfer talked yesterday about Brady, the game, the persona, everything about him.
I can't think of a ball he forced. When he missed away from the defense. His misses were really good. He wasn't forcing the issue. He played the long game. He never panicked. And obviously he got some great help from a defense that played phenomenal and got the ball back for him. He's going to take what the defense gave him. And I thought he was, what were they, 1-for-5 on vertical attempts? But again, the misses were educated misses. So he played like a champion in a tough game.
Yeah, when we go back to look at Brady, and it's interesting, we are very quick to anoint Aaron Rodgers as a potential GOAT because he's so gifted. We're very quick, after one Super Bowl, to put Patrick Mahomes in the top 10 quarterbacks ever. Is people who judge quarterbacks never consider stuff beyond the talent? But the truth is, Joe Montana was not the most talented quarterback in the NFL. Breeze isn't, Brady isn't. The reality is Favre was, but made a ton of mistakes, harder to coach. Aaron is perhaps harder to coach. Some would argue underachieved, bit prickly and aloof. The reality is Brady is the rare all-timer that still is a little underloved. we still, this kind of confirms. I really think when he left, I would listen to sports talk radio. Half the callers, it's a system. He's not going to do anything without Belichick. We never said that about, we never said that about other stars in other sports. Brady left New England and half the sports fans in America, you could listen to any sports talk radio channel in the country, 50-50, he'll disappear. 13-5. We've never really understood the gravitas, the intellect, the pre-snap, the leadership. They're winning now because they've shifted to the Tom Brady culture from the Bruce Arians culture. Jay Glazer, we got stories breaking every 15 minutes now. Deshaun Watson, Eagles looking for a coach.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
The NFL playoffs continue Sunday with the NFC Championship presented by TurboTax Live as Tom Brady and the Buccaneers take on Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Pre-game coverage starts at 1 p.m. Eastern on Fox and the Fox Sports app.
Weather's about, it was yesterday, it was 60% chance of snow, which is, this week we got lucky, both Buffalo. It was so funny, I was sitting there telling a friend, I'm like, it's 35 degrees in Buffalo, 36 in Green Bay, and it's mid-January. I'm not saying it's global warming, but something's happening.
And it was 80 degrees in California.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Jay Glazer, Fox Sports NFL insider, also the owner of Unbreakable Performance Centers. You obviously see him on Fox NFL Sunday. He is our story breaker, and he is joining us now live. All right,
From 80 degree LA. Hey, you guys were just talking about that. When I first moved to LA from New York, all my friends were like, man, you're not going to be able to handle it out there. You're going to miss the seasons. I'm like, I got the Travel Channel. I'm good. I'll take my 80 degrees.
Travel, I like that. So, listen, Deshaun Watson, and, you know, you read the stories, it's forcing a trade. The Jets look, I mean, they got all the first-round picks from the Jamal Adams deal. They could give him four. Do you think he forces his way out of Houston? What are you hearing, Jay?
Why are you only bringing up the Jets? If I'm Urban, I do it. He's a known commodity. You're not sure. With as much as we think Trevor Lawrence and probably will be a stud and Fields, and you don't know. You just don't know. There's been so many other busts that we've seen at number one pick, number two pick. You know what Deshaun is. You know what he is on the field and off the field. If I'm the first pick, the second pick, the third pick, whatever it is, if I have a chance to get Deshaun Watson, I'm sending whatever I have to get Deshaun Watson. And the problem that the Texans are in right now, I mean, listen, there's one thing, and I've seen different people say, well, you know, you don't have to let somebody in on your decision-making process. The problem is, if you tell him you're going to let him in on the decision-making process and then you don't, that's the issue. You don't have to. You don't have to have your quarterback. Belichick didn't go to Brady with anything. But if you tell them you're going to and then you don't, then they feel lied to. That's where your issue is. But Deshaun Watson this is the type of guy you want. Leading your team, leading your prayer service, marrying your daughter, like – he is somebody you could really put everything on. So, yeah, if I'm another team, I do whatever it takes to get Deshaun Watson because you know the known commodity that you're getting. And for the Texans, how they make this right, I don't know because they're trying to hire a head coach right now. And if whoever is going to even talk to them, they're going to want to know for sure that Deshaun Watson's the quarterback, but Deshaun's not really talking to them right now. So they're in a horrible position.
Urban Meyer, you talked to him recently. What's his biggest challenge going to be in Jacksonville?
Here's the biggest issue. And look, one thing I talked to, and Jimmy Johnson said on our show the other day, it is so different in the NFL in college. And part of it is you can't just threaten to pull someone's scholarship, but you're dealing with 53 different corporations inside of that locker room. Not 53 men, but 53 different corporations. But I also said, hey, man, the way you talk to these guys, you've got to talk to them differently now than you did in college. And, you know, go after how Pete Carroll did it. You got to love these guys up. You got to treat them like men. The reason why Bobby Petrino, Nick Saban, they didn't work out. They almost got their butts kicked because they didn't treat them like men. I mean, Nick Saban, the reason why he didn't make it in the NFL, Dante Culpepper tried to fight him one day and a security guy stepped in. And then I think his final straw is that he questioned Zach Thomas's toughness. And Zach almost kicked his butt. It just doesn't work on this level. And I know Urban's not one of those guys that kind of goes after you and tries to demean you. But I said, just make sure you don't do any of that on this level, because it doesn't work on this level. You're dealing with grown men who are a corporation, but also it's different how they act than they do in college. When you go and say something like that to Zach Thomas, good chance that you're going to end up on the ground.
Yeah. Philadelphia, Josh McDaniel rumors everywhere. I mean, I'm reading stuff about power struggles and Jeffrey Lurie wants certain things done. And I think, man, this is toxic, because most coaches, they'd like a little say in personnel. What's your gut feeling on who gets this gig?
Look, tomorrow, and I don't know if this is out tomorrow, I believe they're going to interview Dennis Allen for the Saints. They love Mayo. They love McDaniels. There's just, you know, here's the issue also is you want to, if I'm the Philadelphia Eagles, and I know we look at situations and go, man, this place is toxic. There's only 32 of these jobs. That's it. And this is the dream for the reason why you coach is to become a head coach. That's your dream. It's what everybody dreams of. So we used to always look and say, oh, this person's not going to take this or they're not going to take that. It's only 32 of these things on the planet. The job, whoever they hire, the person needs to sell them on, I'll make it work with Carson and Jalen. I'll make it work in there. That's your job. And, you know, you look at, you think that you would have this issue of in an Andy Reid locker room? Nope. Sean Payton locker room? Nope. Mike Tomlin locker room? Nope. They'll make it work. That's a coach is gonna, it's his job to make it where these two quarterbacks can not only coexist, but help each other out.
So you broke the story on Drew Brees retiring. You know, it was obviously kind of an ugly way to end your career. But I was saying it the other day, you kind of look like Big Ben and Brees at the end of your career. Brady's the outlier. That's how I remember Troy Aikman's last year. I can remember Brett Favre's last year. So Brees officially still retiring. Do you think he'll announce it soon?
I don't know when he's going to announce it, but he went out on his shield. Good for him. And the reason why also I wanted to point it out, because some people were upset. First of all, that's my job. My job is to break news, number one. Number two, you know, some people are like, well, he should have done it. The reason why I wanted to point it out on our show is we were talking so much about Tom Brady, we were all forgetting that this is Drew Brees' last game in the Superdome. It was an afterthought, and it shouldn't have been an afterthought. What this guy did, he and Sean Payton, when they went down there to New Orleans, they changed that culture, but helped change that city, and that city that needed to get saved so much.
Yeah.
They were bigger than football. These guys were bigger than football for New Orleans. They were part of history.
Yeah, I totally agree. Mahomes, I'm crossing my fingers. I mean, listen,
Wait. Did you really bring up that they should move the game away from Mahomes? You really did?
Well, listen, when Tom Cruise broke his ankle, they delayed production on Mission Impossible. If Jay-Z gets a cold, you don't go to a backup. The Masters moved to November.
When I was at Fox this weekend, they didn't let us drink before we went on the air. Have they changed that rule?
Hey, I'm a radio guy. I just said I would do it. I didn't say.
First of all, and let me say, you're not going to move the game for Patrick Mahomes, because then every player after that's going to go, wait, what about me? Every coach can't do it, number one. Number two, the toe was probably more of an issue. And people were so up in arms the other day about this. Guys, if you look right here, okay, look where their hand is around his neck, around the artery. And people get so mad that I am talking about a concussion. They didn't believe it was a concussion. He was trying to get back in the game that day. And, yeah, he got up wobbly and woozy. And because what happened was, watch, he gets that artery hit, just like you're getting choked out. We're trying to choke someone out in mixed martial arts. We're trying to get an artery, if you can see, here and here, okay? We're trying to get these two arteries. And your lights go out, the blood goes, and it doesn't go slowly. When you get choked out, it goes, here, and you're out, right? And then sometimes you start doing things you don't realize you're doing. You're grabbing a referee's leg or your teammate or whatever. And that's kind of, that's what they believe happened to him, more so than a concussion. But now he's wobbly. He has to go through the concussion protocol. But, man, it takes me – and again, you see it goes around and it hits that artery. It doesn't take a lot to put somebody out. And it's – so I expect him – and they expect him to pass the concussion protocol. Right? You know, I had one guy hit me up on Twitter, said, you're an MMA guy. You should know better. It takes 5 seconds to choke someone out. And this guy, I think, was an instructor somewhere. Well, you need to close your school because it takes way less than 5 seconds to choke someone out. It takes us about a second and a half, 2 seconds to shoot. You really get it on, put someone out. But if you saw, he caught it around here, got that artery, and that's what they kind of thought was, you know, was the issue with Patrick. That day, he was trying to argue with them to let him back in.
Wow.
But obviously the visual of it, he's stumbling all over. You can't let that happen. And, you know, they're going to continue. I know it's a very sensitive subject. I'm giving you the facts that I have been told about it.
All right. Well, that's what you do. Jay Glazer, owner, Unbreakable Performance Center. And
where it doesn't take us 5 seconds to choke someone out.
There. That's right. Exactly. Good seeing you, man. All right.
Thank you, buddy. I'm going to come drink with you next time before the show.
Yes. Yeah, I'm getting all this heat for this. All I'm saying is that's what I would do if I ran the NFL.
Listen, I agree with Jay. It's going to be a huge, massive snowball effect if you do that. But I also agree with you because I don't want to watch that. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to, but like, we want to see Mahomes.
This is
entertainment at the end of the day. It's not fair.
That's why they put Super Bowls in warm weather cities, to elevate the best possible scenario for all these great players to play in 70 degrees, not 7.
Yeah.
We're always moving stuff around. Today, I'm just in a mood for hypotheses and theories. So I don't care. What do I got? I'm just out here throwing stuff against the wall.
Sometimes it sticks, sometimes it doesn't. That's why we have sometimes Colin was right, Colin.
That's right. Cremo Barber Shave Cream gives you a close, comfortable shave. I've been using this stuff. It's really good. Fights the burn. Cremo Barber Shave Cream, available at major retailers, Amazon, Cremo, cremocompany.com. All their products are great. They have bourbon and oak body wash.
Mm.
I smell like I've been drinking at 5:50 in the morning. That bourbon oak body wash. It's great. Cremo. Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
So we're just discussing this. Patrick Mahomes is in concussion protocol, which means his availability for Sunday's AFC Championship game is in question. Well, the Bills are waiting for final word on his status. And in the meantime, Coach Sean McDermott isn't taking any chances. He says the team is preparing for the Chiefs system, not just the quarterback. So they'll be ready for Mahomes and backup Chad Henne this weekend, which is the right thing to do. I feel like Mahomes is going to play. Whatever that counts for. I think he's going to play.
I think it's amazing. Patrick Mahomes, the Kansas City Chiefs beat Cleveland, a very good team. Maybe Kansas City is better than we all think, except people in Kansas City. A quarter and a half, Mahomes was limping around the field, and then he left with 7:30 to go in the third quarter. If Baker Mayfield leaves 7:30 to go in the third quarter, Cleveland gets rolled. They get destroyed. Does everybody understand how good Kansas City is? That they lost the best player in the league. What if Green Bay against the Rams lost Aaron Rodgers with 8 minutes to go in the third? I look at it and I think it's kind of amazing that Kansas City is so finely tuned. Mahomes was either hurt or didn't play for 80% of that game, and
well,
they won.
We know how Andy Reid is off of a bye. Obviously, it's better when you have all of your pieces, but yeah, they have a lot of weapons. They played together. They feel very comfortable in their system. Now, look, Chad Henne looked like Chad Henne. He made the big play, which we just showed, and that's what you need to do. What's concerning is you want to see your best players in the championship game. And us as fans want to see Mahomes against Josh Allen. Like, it's going to feel very empty if Mahomes is not out there,
yes,
even if the Chiefs win, because we know we'll see him then in the Super Bowl. But you want your best players out there. Like, that's how it goes. It's kind of, I mean, even though the Steelers got rolled, it was similar to how I felt with the Steelers-Browns game. Like, you don't want to beat your opponent without all of their pieces. Like, you want a man-to-man, like, you want to beat their best. Because then that means you're the best. It doesn't mean, you know, you got there in a cheap fashion. And I know Bills fans could care less about this. They're like, whatever, we're trying to win, which is fair. But we want to see Mahomes out there. And I think he will be, and that's not about health or anything. The bigger question to what Jay was just saying is his foot. Now, Mahomes has such a strong arm and is so good that we saw he was still able to make plays.
Most.
Even being a little hobbled. But I think he'll pass the concussion protocol. The toe is really the question.
Yeah, he couldn't throw the ball off to the left. He struggled on back-to-back. He threw two balls out to the left and missed badly. And Tony Romo said that, like, that's a throw he's not going to be making today. So
yeah, like you can see because his feet weren't right.
Yeah.
So Brian Daboll was one of the top head coaching candidates this year, and he interviewed with the Chargers and the Jets. Both decided to hire defensive coaches instead, and the Texans and Eagles still have openings left, but it looks like he's not going anywhere with the Chargers passing on him for Brandon Staley. Daboll will reportedly remain with the Bills as their offensive coordinator for the 2021 season, which is great news for Josh Allen.
Oh, God, yes. This is great.
They're second most in points per game, tied for second most in yards per game, and the best third down conversion percentage in the league. So this is Got exciting it. News for him.
Yeah, this is the real struggle for the great college and pro programs is keeping your top offensive minds. I mean, think about this.
This is the right move for Daboll as well. Like, if you don't feel comfortable, don't leave and go to a situation that you feel is dysfunctional or is not going to fit what you want to do, or you know you're not going to be able to make the calls. Like, you've been in the conversation now, so you'll be in the conversation next year because you're coming back with Josh Allen and you already have proven that you're capable.
I think he was runner-up for the Chargers job. I believe he was. I talked to Tom Telesco. He didn't tell me that, but of the conversation we had, I think Daboll probably finished a very close second to Brandon Staley.
So finally, James Harden and Kevin Durant are off to a great start, becoming teammates again in Brooklyn. They got their second win together, 125-123 victory over the Bucks last night. Very fun game. And Harden attributes their instant chemistry to the personal growth each of them has made since their days with the Thunder.
We were young in Oklahoma City. You know, we're grown men now. You know what we want. We really know the game of basketball now. You know, we're not those young guys that just run around and want to just shoot and dunk all day. And then for me, you know, as I sit back, I know what type of player Kevin Durant is. You know, he's one of the best players ever touch a basketball.
It has looked pretty smooth.
Let me tell you something. I watched some of that Bucks Nets game last night. I feel bad for people who have to guard Kevin Durant. I mean, as great as Michael Jordan is, Michael had off nights. Like, Kevin Durant scores the easiest of any player in the history of basketball.
Yeah, it's not a surprise to me. I know. That's why I don't understand why there was so much apprehension about Kevin Durant coming back. Like, he's not 45 years old. He's going to come back from this injury. Did you forget what Kevin Durant was before he was injured?
He is so ridiculous. What if Giannis could break people's ankles like Durant? Durant can handle the ball. I mean, if I'd have told you 20 years ago, there's going to be a 7-footer. He'll handle it like a 2-guard. And oh, by the way, shoot better than the 2-guard. I'm sitting there watching that game last night. I'm like, he is the... So my friend Mark Few coaches Gonzaga. A couple years ago, he was an assistant with Popovich on one of these Team USAs. And it had like Westbrook. And he said, let me tell you something. This was the world's best players. And offensively, Kevin Durant was like, we will all just look at him like he's unstoppable. He's the greatest ball in his hands, last shot of a game. I've never seen a player score that easily. It's a 7-footer who can literally cross guys up with the ball.
He's one of the most skilled, like all around skilled players in NBA history. Kyrie is speaking now. He apologized to fans for disappointing them by missing time. Said he just needed a pause.
After 6 games?
I don't know. I don't know what how the Kyrie situation is going to play out. I don't love it. I didn't love the way that Harden left Houston, but he seems to be working perfectly with the Nets. And look, I thought the Nets were going to win the East this year. I don't know how they're going to do in the finals if they make it there, but they're going to be fun to watch along the way, and Harden seems to be fitting right in.
Listen, if KD, James Harden, and that wins the East to me.
Yeah.
If you can figure out a way before the trade deadline to get some defenders, they don't even have to be scorers. They've got to be a better team defensively because eventually...
Well, we know they're going to score. Even before the Harden trade, we knew they weren't going to have a problem scoring.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
My phone. Getting some good information here. I swear to God, this time of the year, the phone calls, this trade stuff, there's a lot of stuff happening.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Good to have you back. Bucky Brooks played in the NFL. Scout Panthers and Seahawks as well. Fox Sports Radio Saturday nights. He is now joining us live here on a Tuesday. So you tell me, you've been in the office with a general manager before. When the Jets made that trade for Jamal Adams, or the Seahawks did, the Jets now have five first-round picks in the next 3 years. And to me, you accumulate those to use them to find a star, either through the draft or free agency or a trade. I mean, I look at the Jets this morning and I think, you got all these first picks. If at best, Justin Fields would become Deshaun Watson. That feels such a natural to me if I'm the Jets and Deshaun Watson. Your thoughts?
Look, I think it's something that you want to investigate, because right now you're sitting at a position of power. You have all the draft currency to go and get a couple of stars. And so I think you want to kick the tires on all of the available players. So if Deshaun Watson is available, let's see if we can pry him loose from Houston, because it gives us the most important piece when it comes to rebuilding the franchise. The problem that you have in this scenario, though, is Deshaun Watson has a no trade clause, so he can pick and choose where he wants to go. And you just have to be convinced that the Jets are a situation where he would want to go. I think the way that you could look at it is listen to what Robert Saleh has kind of said, or what has come out from Jets camp about them liking Sam Darnold. Also, they brought over a couple coaches from the 49ers. The 49ers like Sam Darnold. Kyle Shanahan really liked Sam Darnold when he was coming out in the draft. And so you're trying to figure out, well, what if we take Sam Darnold, put him in this offensive scheme that has elevated so many other quarterbacks, Kirk Cousins, Case Keenum. We've seen Baker Mayfield play well. Maybe when we put him in that system, it would enable us to go and get other pieces around him. And maybe this could be a quicker way for us to turn this franchise around.
You know, it's interesting. I'm watching all these coaching hires. Eric Bieniemy could be the odd man out. Brandon Staley comes out of nowhere. Robert Saleh, I would have never guessed the Jets. Brian Daboll, who was the hottest candidate, he didn't get a job. And it is interesting. Sean McVay and Matt LaFleur, young guys get a job. And let's be honest, one got to a Super Bowl, one probably this weekend gets to a Super Bowl. It does feel like that coaching is getting younger. I mean, that's what it feels like to me is, I don't know if it's a cultural change, it's a schematic change. You know, you've been in these rooms before. I'm looking at the guys getting hired. It looks like if you're over 48, that used to be young, it feels like you're really battling uphill with this stuff.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think, look, it's a copycat league. And so a lot of people have seen what Sean McVay has been able to do, and they want to emulate what he's been able to do with the L.A. Rams. Sean McVay is a bit of a unicorn, though, because he had legacy in terms of his grandfather was running the 49ers. He was always around that. So he saw how a championship team and culture was established and built. And so that put him ahead of the curve. What Matt LaFleur is doing in Green Bay certainly is eye-popping. It's eye-opening. But then as much as we talk about Matt LaFleur, Zach Taylor has struggled in Cincinnati. And so I think the thing that you have to guard against is, look, don't go for the flashy name. Don't go for the hire. But really try and get a good leader. Get a guy who understands the leadership that is necessary to build the right culture and team. He's a communicator. He is an innovator. And he's a problem solver. If you have someone who has those traits, they can be successful. I am troubled, though, because all of these hires are coming from the offensive side of the ball. And I think when you look at the composition of staffs, it really leaves out a large segment of the population, because you just can't hire just all quarterback coaches to be your head coach. That is not the way to go about doing it.
You know, it's interesting. Lamar Jackson, who I have defended all year, is now averaging 13 points a game as a playoff quarterback and 30 as a regular season quarterback. Where does Baltimore go from here?
Well, see, now here's the thing. I think Baltimore has to be careful, because if you completely overhaul what you're doing, you really take away all of the positive things that you've done. I want to say regular season, Lamar Jackson did 30-7. They've been to the playoffs three times under his direction. He's 1-3. But there are a lot of people that are like that. There are a lot of people who have issues when it comes to being able to win in the postseason. I would say that the Baltimore Ravens need to do this. They need to make sure that they have a very established complementary passing game that can score in the red zone, because they moved the ball on the Buffalo Bills between the 20s.
Yep.
But they were 1-5 in the red zone. Two of those were missed field goals. One was a pick six, and another one was a turnover on downs. And so you're close. I just believe that you have to find a way to continue to evolve this offense without radically changing it, because it's been very successful for Lamar Jackson, but you got to find a way to make it better. Maybe that's some personnel stuff. Maybe it's more of a conceptual change that Greg Roman and that coaching staff has to take on.
So, I mean, about halfway through the season, I think we would have both have agreed. Tampa was turbulent. They had that bad Thursday night against Chicago. They got hammered by New Orleans at home. And they were just, you didn't know week to week, half to half. You didn't know what you were getting. And then something happened the last 5 and 6 weeks. And my theory is, it went from a Bruce Arians culture to a Tom Brady culture. And Tom kind of said, okay, we're going to do more stuff that works for me, because that thing ain't work. That's my feeling on it, because they don't even look today. They don't look like they looked 9 weeks ago. I mean, what do you – why so elevated in the last 2 months?
Well, I think teams continue to evolve. And I think this team experienced an evolution. It's tough when you bring in so many different parts and pieces and try and fit them together. When you think about Rob Gronkowski and Antonio Brown coming over, Leonard Fournette being a new piece coming over, you have a new guy, Tristan Wirfs, on the offensive line. You don't really have a full offseason. And, oh, by the way, you have Tom Brady. I think it takes a while for you to kind of figure out how to best play with all of these pieces. And I know we talk about the game has to run through the quarterback, which is absolutely true. But I give Bruce Arians a lot of credit for stepping back and trying to figure out what is the best way for this thing to operate. So, yes, they do some of the things in New England, but they also are retaining the stuff that he has done in Tampa. They have figured it out. And here's what you want to watch against Green Bay. The emergence of the running game, Leonard Fournette, Ronald Jones, the balance, they are a more balanced team. And because they're balanced, they're able to get it done. And defensively, they're doing a really good job. Tom Brady, for all of the great things about him, he is a terrific manager. He doesn't turn the ball over in the postseason. And as long as they don't turn the ball over, they have a chance to beat anybody, Green Bay and whoever they potentially could face in the Super Bowl.
Andy Reid, let's Chad Henne go for it. Andy Reid, I mean, you know Andy. I sat there and I'm like, this is why you either adapt or die in the NFL. I'm not sure any older coach would have done that. When you watched it, what'd you think?
For one, I'm sitting on the edge of my seat because I'm like, okay, this is a hard count. Much like Tony Romo was talking about, hey, this is a hard count situation. They surely aren't going to put the game on Chad Henne's shoulders to go win it. But give Andy credit, because Andy said, look, man, it's playoffs. Win or go home. And he understands that the offense is the strength of the team.
Yeah.
If I have a chance to win the game, why not win it with the best unit of my team, the offense? For all of the things that Andy Reid has accomplished, his evolution as a daring play caller to me stands out. He lost a bunch of games, a bunch of NFC championship games in Philadelphia, and he was never deterred. He stuck with the process, continued to add to his repertoire, and he's been successful. So when you were talking to me about Baltimore, I think there is something to, hey, we're going to continue to stick to the process. Eventually, we're going to knock the door down.
Yeah.
I think Andy Reid is a testament to that, while still adding more pieces to the puzzle, not only as a play caller, but as a team builder.
Yeah, it is. By the way, your point, which I watch the television and say this often, when you go into a game, what is our strength? If a game ever comes down to a series, it's amazing how often teams will give it to their weaker unit. And I'm like, your point's great, which is, okay, we're here because of our offense. I got to get 3 yards. I got to get a yard. So I think that's a great point and something I watch the TV at home and yell what Bucky just said. Bucky Brooks on the show. By the way, Fox Sports Radio Saturdays. Good seeing you, bud.
Hey, good seeing you.
Yeah, that's a great point. I see that all the time in football. I'm like, put it in the hands of your unit. Who is – what unit got you here? They're like, okay, we need a yard. We're the Kansas City Chiefs. By the way, Mike Tomlin drove me nuts.
That is exactly what I was just thinking about.
Oh, my God. They punted from their 37. I'm like, Mike, you got all these receivers. You got Mike. What are you doing?
I mean, and you're down quite a bit. Down quite a bit.
Drove me nuts. ButcherBox, making cooking delicious. Overnight delivery to your door. ButcherBox.com/herd. All that protein, free pulled pork, pack of uncured bacon free in your first box. ButcherBox.com/HERD. I saw something with the Chiefs this weekend. I'd never seen it in the NFL before, and not the Chad Henne play. Hour three next.